Okay, Chaver, Parsha Sav. How many psukim in Parsha Sav? Rav Kobi, how many psukim? Sav, 96. Sav, 96 psukim. Okay. Let's see. All right, so we're still in the world of Toras Kohanim, in the world of Karbanos. Actually, I'm going to make you guys work hard today in Seder, if you're willing to. On it. Second to last topic of last week's parsha, which is the carbon ola v'yored, the sliding scale carbon. Okay, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that in shir. Yirtzeh Hashem. Okay, but how does parsha Sav begin? Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. Sav es Aaron ve'ezbanov lemor. Zos toyas ha'ola. Hi ha'ola al moikta al mizbeach v'lo layla arabokar ve'esh ha'mizbeach tukad bo. Parsha begins with HaKadosh Baruch Hu introducing Aaron to the halachos of carbon ola, right? Zois toras haola. Again, that was part of our mystery earlier in the week, right? By Parshas Para, Parshas Chukas, you would expect it to say Zois Chukas hapara, and it says Zois Chukas haTorah. Usually, it's more precise, like it is here. Zois toras haola. You want to talk about carbon ola, so say Zois toras haola. Okay, so Zois toras haola. This is the law of the ola. Hi haola. This is namely the ola, which what? It's al moikta al mizbeach chol alayla, that shall remain all night upon the moikad of the mizbeach, on the pyre of the mizbeach, the pile of wood on the mizbeach, burning all night ad haboker ve'eish hamizbeach tukad bo. Okay, so let's see if we can understand what's going on here. Right, just so we understand the little context. Rashi says, "Haraya inyan hazeh bala lamed al hektar chalavim ve'ivarim." So we know what that is. Right? When's the time for Kriyas Shema? When's the time for Tefillah Shacharis? Karban Tamid Shel Shachar. Right? Can I get Karbanos? When's the time for Mincha? Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. Tefillas Arvus. If it's Keneged Karbanos, what is it? Keneged what? Hektar chalavim. Ve'evar, right? Which is part of the reason that Marv is Rishus, because again, it's the non-essential part of the carbon, and there may not be anything left over to burn throughout the night. Okay, so if you hold Tfilos Keneged Tmidon Tiknum, so Marv corresponds, right? Brachos Chavavim Ebeiz, Marv corresponds to the Hector Chalavim Ve'evarim, which is what? Kol HaLayla, that's what our Pasuk says. And when it comes to the Ola, Kol HaLayla, right? It's Al Mizbeach, Kol HaLayla, Adaboker Ve'esh Mizbeach Tukad Bo. Okay, so that's what Rashi says. This is coming to teach us about the hektar, chalavim ve'ivarim, the burning of the fats and the limbs throughout the night. Okay, b'derech chasidus, what does it mean? Says our Rabbi, tzavis aron ve'zbanov lemor zos toras ha'ola. Yesh l'ramiz b'pasuk hazeh. Perhaps the Torah is hinting to us. Sha'a Torah mashmi anu, eizel limud Torah hi ola l'hashem l'reach nicha'ach. However, we know the carbon ola is burnt in its entirety. Right? It's ola. It's a burnt offering. It goes up entirely, right? Hi ha'ola. Hi ha'ola. It's burnt in its entirety. It's not eaten. We don't eat from the carbon ola. So says our Rebbe, maybe it's coming to teach us, right? Zos toras ha'ola. This is the type of Torah that's also ola. This is the type of Torah that goes up. This is the type of Torah that's ideal. Eza lima Torah hi ola la'Hashem l'reach nichach. What type of learning goes up to Hashem in a way that is desirable, that creates a reach nichoach, a good scent. And of course, the pasuk says, "Tzavis Aaron v'zbanav lemor." Aaron and his children should be the ones to teach this, because the kohanim, we think of them as workers in the Beis Hamikdash, but the priestly class is also what? The teachers of Klal Yisrael. They're the rebbeim of Klal Yisrael, the teachers of Klal Yisrael. Because part of the job of, again, Sheva Levi, is to be teachers. Yoru Mishpatecha, the ones who teach the law to the family of Yaakov. So therefore, Aaron and his children are supposed to be the role models, and they are supposed to show B'nai Yisrael, Zos Torah Sa'ola, Ratzolomar, Zos Hiya Torah, Asher Tale Lashem, Va'amar hi ha'ola al moikta. Hi ha'ola, this is the ola, this is the burnt offering, literally, right? Al moikta. Al-Mokta, again, the Moikad means the pile of wood on top of the Mizbeach. But the way that our Rebbe is learning it, Hi ha'ola al-Mokta. If you want your Torah to go up in the best possible way, it has to be al-Mokta. It has to be on fire. It has to be on fire. Asher ola b'slavas ha'lev ba'avaso. Ve'esh tukad b'kirbo me'avas Hashem Yisbarach. If you're going to learn Torah in a cold way, like an Amaleki, Asher karcha b'derech, if you're going to let that kriras seep into your life, so then your Torah is not going to really go up. And forget for a second, if we can, right, about just trying to impress Hashem with good Torah, that it should be the Rath Nichach LaHashem. Let's just talk about how it's going to transform your life. If your Torah is very cold, or your Torah is very, lacking passion, lacking lev, lacking love of Hashem, lacking love of Torah, it's going to be very hard for you to have an aliyah, right? Not only is those Torah sa'ola, this is what's going to go up to Hashem, but in terms of your own aliyah through Torah, the more a person immerses himself in Torah, the more he becomes one with Torah. I told you once, Vasama says that a ben Torah is called a ben Torah. What does that mean? A child of Torah? Think about it, a son of Torah. Well, why do we use the term ben Torah? What does that mean, a ben Torah? A ben Torah means the same way that I am the biological and spiritual and emotional reality of my parents. Right? Ben Reb Chaim Yoina. I'm a ben of my father. So I'm also, right, when I learn Torah in a serious way, and because I'm a child of my father, I have certain parts of me that are identifiably connected to my father, in my DNA, in my personality, right, in my physical appearance. I happen to look more like my mother, but my physical appearance, right, where a child has a resemblance to the parent. So a ben Torah means what? A ben Torah means a person who looks like Torah. He looks like the Torah. He's been molded by the Torah. The same way there's no way of escaping the fact that I am my parents' child. So a ben Torah is a person whose whole mahus, his whole being, has become molded and fashioned by Torah. So again, so zos, right? Zos Torah sa'ola. This is the type of Torah that goes up. Namely, again, what type of Torah? Hi ha'ola al-mokta. It has to be, again, it has to be on fire somewhat. Asher ola b'slavas ha'lev ba'avaso. If you want the Torah to go up to Hashem, and again, I'm adding, if we want to have our own aliyah through Torah, it has to be with a sense of passion. Al hamizbeach, says the Rebbe, continuing the pasuk. Al hamizbeach shekavanaso b'Torah shetiyeh l'reach nichoach al hamizbeach haynu hashchina. And here we come back to the world of Torah lishma, which we touched on yesterday. Why am I learning Torah? The worst way to learn Torah, Tosfos Brachos Yedzayin Amud Aleph, is what? The kantar, to bring others down, to mock others, to make others feel bad about themselves. So that's the type of Torah that so low lishma, Tosfos Daf Yedzayin says, better not to exist. Better you shouldn't even exist. What's the Torah shalo lishma of Psachim Daf Nun? If you do it for your own kavod, that's b'diavad. But that's a low lishma that can lead to a lishma. So what's a Torah lishma? A Torah for its own sake. What does that mean? So our Rebbe is sort of touching on that idea here by saying that it's al hamizbeach. It's al hamizbeach. What does that mean? It's al hamizbeach. Again, three lines from the bottom. Shekavanaso b'torah shetiyeh l'reach nichoach al hamizbeach haynu hashchina. That I'm doing it as an offering for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That I'm doing it al hamizbeach. I'm doing it l'chavod d'shchina. We'll see more about what that means. We're going to talk about what it means to daven, not for yourself, but to daven for the Shechina, which is, again, the embodiment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, which also means Klal Yisrael. So we daven everything in the plural. We'll get to that in the next piece. But he says, Alam Mizbeach means Hainu HaShechina. Right? To learn Torah for the right reason. Mizbeach, he writes, in parentheses, Gam Kein B'Gematria Kel Havaya. Mizbeach is 57. Which is the gematria of Kel, the two names of Hashem, Kel Havaya. Kel, 31, and Yud Kei Vav Kei, 26. Like we say in Halel, right? Kel Hashem V'Yair Lanu V'Chulu Ad Karnos HaMizbeach. So you see hinted to in the words of David HaMelech, Kel Hashem, right, is somehow merames to the Mizbeach. Okay, coming back to our pasuk, so Kol HaLaila Ad HaBoker. That the Ola, the carbon Ola, goes all night until the morning. What does that mean? Hainu afilu kol yimei hagolos shenikra laila ad zman hagu'ula shenikra boker. Chever, you know what's possible today? It seems impossible sometimes, but you know what's possible today? To still love Torah. To still love the Torah. We have the Torah. The Torah never ceases to exist. There are some Yom Tovim that are trending up and some that are trending down. Chanukah and Purim are trending up because they're Galus Dik holidays. But the Shalosh Regalim are trending down. Down only in the sense that we can't fulfill Pesach the right way. We don't have a Karm Pesach. Hopefully this year we will. We don't have Shuas and Sukkot the right way because we can't come to Beis HaMikdash and bring a Karban Olas Re'iyah. Shami Chagiga, we can't bring the Karbanos. It's lacking. Yom Kippur, Gvaldik, Yom Kippur, we don't have a Kohen Gadol, we don't have Beis HaMikdash. Right? So there are some things that are damaged without a Beis HaMikdash. Shemi Shmuel writes in two places. I think he quotes Rasim Chabunim of Prashisla, who said that when the Chorban Beis HaMikdash took place, everything in the world got damaged. Everything was somewhat damaged by Chorban Beis HaMikdash, with one exception. You know what the exception is? Tayres Hashem, Temima, Hashem's Torah is perfect. Hashem's Torah is still perfect. Now again, you'll say, what do you mean? We don't learn on the same level, but the Torah itself is intact, fully intact. So therefore, what's our Rebbe saying? It's possible to Aaron and Banav, Aaron and the children of Aaron, right? Members of Shevet Levi, family of the Kohanim. It's your job to teach people Zayis Torah Sa'ola, that there's a way of learning Torah that still goes all the way up. How do you do that? Continues the Pasuk again. That has to be Hiya Ola Al Mokta. It has to be with a sense of Islavus. It has to be Al Mizbeach. It has to be done L'Shem Shemayim. And yes, it's possible, he says, Kol Halayla Araboker, that even throughout the Galus, until we get to the Geula, until the light of redemption comes, it's still possible to learn Torah in a real way. We shouldn't feel, now we're in such a low place in world history. The Torah is not what it used to be. No, celebrate the Torah. The Torah was not damaged with Chorban Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Shemi Shmuel says. Again, Hainu afilu kol yimei hagalus shenikra laila ad zmana geula shenikra boker. Throughout the night until the morning, it's possible for us to stay connected. B'chdei shiasamach v'sa'ad l'shchina. We're able to what? We're able to support, to uphold the Shechina. Hashem says, I still have a place in this world. Because there are 20-year-old guys sitting in Washington Heights learning my Torah. Hashem is so excited about that. Hashem says, you're mechazik, you're holding up the Shechina, you're holding up the world. Ve'esh ha-mizbeach tukad bo. Hainu al yedei lima Torah, tukad bo hislavus ha-shechina. It's not just that when we learn with passion that we become inspired Jews, right? But we're giving chizik to Hashem. The Shechina is enlivened by it. The Shechina is illuminated by it. Right? We're tukad al mizbeach. Eish hamizbeach tukad bo. That through you, the eish hamizbeach, the fire of the Shechina, the passion of the Shechina. Hashem feels better in Galus because Shechinta begalusa. Again, the Shechina is in Galus. The Shechina is also in exile. Again, we are the Shechina. But the Shechina, whatever we think the Shechina means, the Shechina is in a state of exile right now. Hashem's Beis HaMikdash Shalmata is in ruins. But we can give chizuk to the Shechina. Hainu al yedei lima Torah tukad bo hislavas hashchina. Afilu be'es shemafsik mehalimud be'achreach. And that's true. If we learn in the right way, when we're learning, our Rebbe says an amazing thing. He says that even when we stop learning out of necessity, which is reality, right, for most normal human beings, to eat and to sleep and to use the restroom and to go to class and to make a living and to go grocery shopping, and to exercise a little bit, and to sleep, and to do all the regular, you know, regular stuff that people do, right? But when you show that you're a passionate ben Torah, a person who's been molded by Torah, so the Shechina gets chizik just from knowing a person like you exists in the world. And that's what it means, that it's Ola. Zos Torah ha'Ola. He Ola al-Mokta. I'll just add a comment quickly from the Berditchever. There's a Kedusha Slavia at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. I don't have a Kedusha Slavia by any chance. The last Kedusha Slavia in Mishpatim. It's a beautiful word. The Kedusha Slavia says, how do you know if your learning is being well received by Hashem? How do you know? How do you know if I'm learning for the right reasons? How do I know if I, how do I know? Like, I don't get a report card. Yerusha Levi says, you don't get a report card, so how do you know how you're doing? How do I know? I go my whole life without getting a report card. Am I doing well? Am I not doing well? Am I achieving my potential? Not? I don't know. How do you know? So at the end of Mishpatim, it says, Umare kvod Hashem ke'ish ocheles b'rosh ahar le'enei b'nei Yisrael. Kedushas Levi says, you want to know if you're giving kvod Hashem? Umare kvod Hashem, the sign to be able to see, Mare kvod Hashem. If you want to see if you're giving kvod Hashem, if you want to see that Hashem is pleased with you, the answer is two words, ke'ish ocheles. If your avodas Hashem is on fire, and again, you don't have to be on fire like the Ditchiver all day long. Right? But if you're excited about learning, if you're excited about davening, if you're looking forward to Shabbos, if you want to be connected to tzaddikim, if you enjoy a yom tov, you know, if you're excited to pull out your candle and your flashlight and get under the couch for bedikas chametz, if that's not a chore to you, if that's a schuz, I'm eradicating chametz from my life. When we celebrate these things, then Hashem is very happy with you. Umar e kvod Hashem, the indicator of kvod Hashem, of kvod Shemayim, is ke'esh ocheles. If you're excited about your avodas Hashem, there's a good chance that you're probably doing good by the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what Rav Levi Yitzchok says, and it's, again, if you know the Brit Ditcher a little bit, it's very autobiographical. He was mamish on fire for Hashem. Although he went through a period of time, Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter says he went through a couple of years, close to a couple of years, where he was totally in a state of katnas hamochin, of small mindedness, just closed. He couldn't get any chias from his Torah and mitzvahs. Can you imagine the Berditchover? I think it was a year and a half. For a year and a half, he had no geschmack from anything, but he stayed in it. He stayed in the game. He pushed through, and he got back. He got back to being the holy Berditchover. Okay? All right, let's go on to the next piece. Perek Vav, Pasuk Tes Zayin. Okay, we discussed in this week's Parsha, among the many things that we discussed the Mincha of a Kohen. What's different about a Mincha of a Kohen as opposed to a Mincha of a regular person? The Pasuk says what? Well, that's the Kohen Gadol's Mincha Shechitin. That's true. But any Kohen who brings a Mincha, there's something different than a non-Kohen who brings a Mincha. That's this pasuk. V'chol minchas kohen kolil tia lo se achel. Okay, get this rule into your head. A kohen's mincha is not eaten. The entire thing is burnt. Normally by a mincha, a kmitza, a portion of it is taken and burnt on the mizbeach, and the rest is eaten, depending on what type of mincha it is by different people, potentially. But the mincha of a kohen, when a kohen brings a mincha, v'chol minchas kohen, a mincha of a kohen, kolil tia is kalil, is complete. Complete what? Completely burnt. Kalil tia means completely burnt. The whole thing goes up to Hashem. Lo se'achel, it may not be eaten. Okay? That's the mincha of the Kohen. So says our Rebbe, I want to say the following incredible teaching. Yesh l'ramiz b'derech remez b'rimzei ha-mitzvah zos. I want to tell you a remez on this mitzvah. Kabbali bi'adenu mitalmidei ha-Baal Shem Tov. We have a tradition from the students of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, Shamispalel lo yasim magamaso ledavar hanechsar lefi ro'os ha'ayin. A very superficial way to daven, and coming out of Purim when we worked on almost ridiculing the outside, the way that we see things, again, the costumes of Purim, makes a joke out of the chitzonius to help us to experience pnimius. We take a grape and we transform it into wine, to show that what it looks like on the outside is much better on the inside. Again, it's one of the few things, when you crush it, it goes up in value, it goes up in quality. A grape, yayin. When a person davens, we have a tradition from Talmidei Baal Shem Tov that a person should not place before him, in terms of his focus, his magamah. Shemispal lo yasim magamaso lidavar hanechsar. He shouldn't focus on that which is lacking, lefi ro'os ha'ayin, as his eye imagines it to be, as he perceives it to be. Don't just daven superficially for what looks like a problem, because there's always a deeper problem that it's rooted in. And if we can get to the root of the problem, we'll have much greater success of fixing the problem. You'll see his example. You'll see how he explains it. Rakbir oso sheyesh leben Yisrael eza chisaron, hein begufo hein bemamono. Again, we have a tradition from the Baal Shem Tov when you recognize when one sees that a certain Jew, a Ben Yisrael, any Jew, is experiencing some type of chisaron, whether it's in his body or in his money, whether it's in his health or his finances. Mistama yesh eiza chisaron upagam chas v'shalom, be'em habanim shalamala mekor nishmas Yisrael. Presumably, what it's revealing is what? That there's some pagam in the higher realms that is reflected in this person who's struggling with his finances, who's struggling with his health, right? Again, that doesn't necessarily mean, I want to be clear about this, because I once heard a very big Rav say this idea over, and the people in the crowd were very hurt by it because they didn't understand what he was saying. The Pnei Menachem, the Ger Rebbe, said that Pnei Menachem said that there are certain illnesses, and again, everything I'm about to say is beyond our pay grade, but there are certain illnesses, Pnei Menachem said it specifically about cancer. He said that it's not considered an illness of the individual. It's an illness of Klal Yisrael, of the generation. In other words, sometimes a person gets sick, lo aleinu, with a difficult disease, and they say, what did I do wrong? Like, why is Hashem punishing me? What's my crime? Right? What did I do to deserve this? A person has a terrible diagnosis, God forbid, chas v'shalom. So what did I do to deserve this? The Pnei Menachem said, There are certain machlas, there are certain illnesses that are not an illness of an individual, that it's a punishment for the generation, for certain levers of the generation. I'm saying that just to point out here that if a person is struggling financially, right, he should make a cheshbon and nefesh and try to understand what's the root of it. Is the root of it that I'm not responsible in my business practices? Is the root of it that I don't have proper training? Is the root of it that it's a bad job market? Is the root of it some type of spiritual thing? Now, the answer is probably all of the above, but we could always try to get to the root of it. There's something up top that's broken. And again, I once heard someone speak about someone who was, it was a shiur. The reason it was, people took it the wrong way, is because it was a shiur for a person, for a refuah shleima, for someone who was sick. And the Rav got up and he said, there's an idea from the Baal Shem Tov that when there's an illness in the body, so it's reflective of like a gaping hole in the Shemayim. And I think people were like put off by that because they're like you're basically saying that this person who's sick is like, you know, has some big aveira and that's why they're sick. So I'm going to add this disclaimer that we don't always know. It's not always exactly lined up cause and effect in that way. That's all I'm trying to point out. But if there's a problem in the world, if there's a chisaron in the guf, a chisaron in mammon, we should try to get to the root of the matter. The root of the matter is that if it's reflected in a ben Yisrael below, then it's rooted in the eim habanim. He's referring to, again, it's Kabbalistic terminology. It's also a pasuk. But it's reflected in some type of higher reality, mekor nishmas Yisrael. There's a problem at Shemayim, and it's manifesting in the world below. Mizeh nimsha chisaron la'anpeah nishmas Yisrael. In other words, if there's a problem in the makor, then it's going to trickle out to the branches, to the anafim. And therefore what? Look at this next line. Umechavin betfilaso letakin hamakor vahashoresh umemela yituknu ha'anafim. That's his point in one line. That if we could have kavana when we daven to try to fix the root, so then memela, the branches, will be healthy. You understand? If the problem is in the roots of the tree, so obviously the branches are also going to experience decay. If the roots of the tree are healthy, then the fruit and the leaves and the branches and everything that emerges from there is also going to be healthier. And therefore, hamispalel kazeh batuach shelo tachzor tfilaso reikam. When we try to be a little bit bigger than ourselves, and not, as one of my rabbis likes to say, not see Hashem as a giant ATM machine in the sky, where I go to collect, you know, I need a few more bucks. Like, it's much bigger than that, Chaver. It's much deeper. Now, there's something also very beautiful about turning to Hashem and saying, Hashem, I know you're responsible for my financial well-being, and I need a few more bucks. But let's be a little bigger than that. There's deeper problems in the world. There's bigger problems in the world. Let's try to get to the root of it. It's like the Piyaz Etzner Rebbe says, like the Holy Eish Kodesh says, in the Sefer Tzav Zeros, that if a person is sick and you only take some type of medicine to kind of just mask the illness, or the example he gives, it's a little gross, but like to suppress the vomiting, right? So it doesn't really get to the crux of the problem. You're just you're putting a Band-Aid and another Band-Aid and another Band-Aid, right? Or the Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah, when it comes to uprooting an Avodah Zarah tree and Asherah, right? If a person wants to uproot it, he needs what? Lisharish acharet, to make sure you dig out the roots. Because if you just trim the tree, what's going to happen? It's going to grow back. So I want to get to the root of my spiritual illness, is what he's saying. So the Rebbe says when we daven to try to fix things at their essence, that's already a big tikkun. That's going to have a ripple effect on all the branches. Ki einu mechavin lahanas atzmo rak litzarach gavola. That's called davening in a big way. That's a person who's not intending for his own hana. He's not only focused on himself, what he needs, but he's recognizing that he's part of a spiritual structure, right? He's davening litzarach gavola. He's davening for, again, the golus hashchina. He's not just learning for himself, for his own honor. He's not just davening for his own honor, for his own needs. He's zooming out and recognizing that Hashem has a plan for the world, and I want to be Hashem's partner. So now, look how the Rebbe puts it together. This is hinted to in our pasuk. V'chol minchas kohen. Again, the pasuk said what? The mincha of the kohen kolil ti has to be totally burnt. So says our Rebbe, kohen nikra ha'oved ha'miti. A kohen is a code word for anyone who serves Hashem faithfully, truthfully. Hamiyachin ma'isav la'Hashem bilti la'Hashem levadam. Kohen means what? A dedicated worker. An Oved. An Eved Hashem. V'taima rabba ispe. And he says, and I'll tell you how the word Kohen shows a person who has an exclusive relationship with Hashem. He doesn't get caught up in the superficiality of things. He's a person, to use the Rebbe's words, Pasuk, bilti la'Hashem levado. Bilti la'Hashem levado. He's exclusively for Hashem. How do you see a Kohen is exclusively for Hashem? So look what the Rebbe says. Diadua mi alpha besa. We know from the study of Hebrew letters, from the Aleph Beis, da'at bach, shehu tziruf kol achodim la'asirios. That if we were to make pairs in at bach, if we were to take every number in the ones column, let's say, and pair it with another number to make it into 10. So again, Aleph and Tes is 10. 1 and 9 is 10. Beis and Ches, 2 and 8 is 10. Gimel and Zion is 10. Dalit and Vav is 10. Who's left on his own? Who's left alone? The Hay. The Hay has no partner. So says our Rebbe, look inside. The Hainu, if you take an Aleph and a Tes, who Mispar Yud. If you take a Beis and a Ches, it's Mispar Yud. If you take a Gimel and a Zion, it's 10. If you take a Dalit and a Vav, it's 10. Nishar Os Hay below Ben Zug. The letter Hey is left without a friend, without a partner. V'chein kol asirios lemeos kazeh. The same thing would be true if you took the tens and you made them into meos. You made them into hundreds. So you take a yud and a tzadi, a 10 and a 90, and you make 100. You take a chaf and a pei, a 20 and an 80, and you get 100. You take a lamed and an ayin, a 30 and a 70, you get 100. A mem and a samach, a 40 and a 60, you get 100. What letter is left alone? Nun. Nun is without a partner. Nishar os nun yechidi below ben zog. So far we have a hey on his own and a nun on his own. V'chein v'tzarev kol ameos l'alafim. And the same thing would be true if we try to turn hundreds into 1,000. Now you'll say, hold on a second. Doesn't the Hebrew alphabet tap out at 400? At tav. We have sofit letters, right? We have chaf sofit, mem sofit, nun sofit, fei sofit, sadi sofit. 500, 600, 700, 800, 900. So if we match them up, the kvar yadata osios mansapach, the sofit letters, mem nun, tzadi pei, and chaf sofit, hakfulim, which are doubled, sofit letters, heim nechshavim achar hatof. We calculate them after 400. We keep going. Hainu, chaf sofit is hey meos, is 500. Mem sofit, vav meos, is 600, etc. So therefore, v'kocha titzarev, if you take kuf and tzadi sofit, 100 and 900, it's 1,000. You take resh and fei sofit, 200 and 800, it's 1,000. You take Shin and Nun Sofit, 300 and 700, it's 1,000. You take Tav and Mem Sofit, it's 1,000. What letters left? The Chaf. The Chaf Sofit is on its own. So it says that we have a Chaf, and we have a Hey, and we have a Nun. Those are the three letters that are left alone. That's why a Kohen has a certain exclusive relationship with Hashem. Because a Chaf, a Hey, and a Nun are lonely letters. Lonely only in the sense that they're disconnected from the regular flow of life. It's a person who's more focused on higher things. Nishar os chaf below ben zug, hine tira. So what appears? Osvan kohen, the letters chaf hey nun, heim yechidim below ben zug. Al kein ha'oved be'emes b'shvil ha'achtos nikra kohen. So therefore, a person who serves Hashem for the rightest of reasons, right, for the most true and holy reasons, and he does it l'shem shemayim, bilti l'Hashem levado, solely for the sake of Hashem, l'shem shemayim, that's called kohen. So now, v'chol minchas kohen, says our pasuk, the mincha of a kohen. Right? When you say karban ola, you don't think davening. When you say karban shlamim, you don't think davening. When you say karban mincha, you're like, wait a minute, that sounds like davening. So that's why, by the mincha, we bring out this idea. V'chol minchas kohen. Hainu tfilas kohen, the right way to daven. When one davens like a kohen, when one davens l'shem shemayim, ha'ovin mispal be'emes l'shem ha'achtos, one who puts himself a little bit aside and davens for the greater good of Klal Yisrael, of the Shechina, of Hashem. Kolil tia, tia tfilaso l'shem ha'kolel. This is not a person who davens for the pratim, for himself, for his little petty needs, which I'm not saying are petty, they're actually a chashuv. Everything you need is important. And Hashem cares about that also. But a higher level of tefillah is when I can get out of myself. And the truth is, we do this every Shon Esrei, Chevra, because we daven in plural. That's already davening for something bigger than myself. And I normally say the bracha of Rafa'inu of I'm feeling sick. I say Rafa'inu, because Klal Yisrael needs Rafu'a Shleima, the Shechina needs Rafu'a Shleima. Baruch Aleinu, I'm davening for not just my own parnas, I'm davening for the financial well-being of everyone I know, of all my friends, of Klal Yisrael. So Minchas Kohen, the davening of a person who's like a Kohen, Kolil Tia, he makes himself part of the Klal. He doesn't focus on his own individual needs. Hainu Machmas Shiyesh Chisaron Ba'Kolel. He recognizes that if there's a problem, it's probably rooted in what? In the root of it all, in the Kolel, in the all-encompassing. He doesn't focus on the branch of the tree, he focuses on the roots of the tree. Everything's kolol in the roots. If the roots are healthy, the tree's going to be healthy. The fruit's going to be healthy. The leaves are going to be healthy. Hainu ha-shechina kadosha. He focuses on what? On the big picture. On the shechina. Concludes the pasuk. The mincha of a kohen is kolil tia. Again, literally completely burnt, as we're explaining it, is all-encompassing. A proper, deep davening focuses on the big picture of Klal Yisrael, of the shechina. Lo se achel. You don't eat from such a mincha. What does it mean you don't eat from it? Achila is always a code word for what? Hana, for enjoyment, for pleasure. Yeah? You go to Amnon's Pizza, delicious Suda, right? A lot of Hana. Achila implies a lot of Hana. So lo se achel. Lo se achel means what? Lo se achel means hainu, Hana ki adua. De lo se achel lekule alma, gam iser Hana b'mashra b'psachim. Right? Lo se achel implies not to, sometimes it's meant even that there's an iser hana, right? So lo se achel here means that what? You're not allowed to, don't benefit from it. Hainu lo techavein lahanas atzmecha. Don't make the tefillah about yourself. Don't allow yourself to be the focus of the tefillah. V'day bezel lemaschil al dvar chachma. And I've said enough for a person who appreciates a dvar chachma. Again, on a certain level, it's a very high level. He's saying, daven for Golas HaShechina, daven for the needs of... But what it really means, again, if part of what Shechina means is Klal Yisrael. Don't just focus on yourself. Don't just focus on yourself and your own needs. Be part of the Koilo, be part of the Tzivor. Attach yourself to the Tzivor in a real way, yeah.
What's the addition of the Daim Set on Ashkel Dover Hachma?
I don't know.
What is that saying?
Yeah, why does he sometimes, right? Sometimes he said, we've seen it a few times, he said that we were talking about something, something very delicate. I don't know, is this such a delicate idea? I don't know. But he's saying I understand it's a lofty idea, but if a person who gets it, he's saying, will appreciate this. Again, I'll use the same mashal that we gave the other week, you know. The fear of bittul is the loss of self. Right? I'm scared to be mevatel myself because I like myself. I like myself as myself. A healthy human being likes himself as himself. Right? I'm happy that I exist. And I appreciate my own independent reality. And I don't want to be anyone else. And I enjoy existing. And that's healthy and that's normal. Bittul, when I'm mevatel myself to Hashem, so there's a great fear that what? That I'm losing my sense of self. That I'm no longer an independent entity. Now the truth is I'm not really an independent entity even if I imagine myself to be an independent entity. There's no independent entity in the world called Moshe Tzvi. I'm one with Hashem. Hashem gave me a perception that I'm my own thing. And I have my own free will and I can do what I want. But when I give myself back over to Hashem, I'm not actually becoming smaller, as I told you, I'm becoming bigger. Why am I becoming bigger? Again, it's the mashal of the Baal Tanya, of the ray of light that comes from the sun, or the mashal of others, of a drop of water that's become detached from the ocean. Right? So to put that drop of water back into the ocean, on the one hand, it's very scary for the drop, because I like being my own drop. I have my own sense of identity as an individual drop. When I go back into the ocean, it's going to be impossible to find me again. I'm not going to be able to be identifiable as me. That's the self-centered way to look at it, which is understandable. What's the deeper way to look at it? When you put the drop back into the ocean, you become the ocean. You become the ocean. You become one with the ocean. Right? So you're not becoming smaller. You're just returning to your makori, returning to your shoresh. So again, when you hear a piece like this, you're like, you're telling me I can't daven for what I need, but I have my needs. The Rebbe's saying, if you get it, you'll understand that when you focus on, again, the big picture, your needs are going to be met as well. Instead of focusing on your little branch, focus on the roots. If you fix the roots, you'll fix the whole tree. If you get to the root of the illness, you'll be healed forever. If you constantly take the medicine to just suppress the feelings, it's a band-aid. It's a bandage on top. It doesn't really get to the crux of the problem. Yeah.
We spoke about this idea before also, but like a drop of water on its own isn't sustainable. It's not going
to right, right, really exactly. The ocean will be there forever. Exactly, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Right. I'm happy you keep mentioning that. That's. I want to remember that piece. That's a good point. That's a great point. That drop of ocean will not be able to maintain itself
on its own.
That's right. They'll evaporate. That's right. They're bound to right. If you come one with the ocean, you're becoming part of eternity. That's right.
So I've always heard like this idea. You know, if you doubt it for someone else.
Your answer first.
Yeah.
Right.
So when you think like deeply about that, it's sort of you're not doubting for the other people because you're actually wanting them to succeed or do.
You're doing it just for yourself.
It's like,
right. So
I felt like that, like when I'm internally already doubting.
So one of two things. One of two things. Either mitok shalol lishma balishma in a chanami. It is a little bit with a self interest, but okay, I'm still. Or the other way to say. Is maybe that's what the Maamar Chazal means. You have to actually daven for someone else, right? If you're doing it just to really help yourselves, maybe it doesn't work. And again, I don't know. Only Hashem knows the answer to that question. But it could be you're right. It could be if I'm doing it with the intention of really just focusing on myself, then I'm really just focusing on myself. But if I could really put myself aside and prioritize another person, in such a case, Hashem says, that's such a big thing, it's so hard to do, that you'll be answered first. Yeah. All right, let's try the next little piece. All right, let's do two more pieces. We'll just do the next little one and then the next left column, the bigger one. Okay, V'lavash HaKohen Mido. Perek Vav, Pasuk Gimel, third Pasuk in the Parsha. V'lavash HaKohen Mido Vad. The Kohen should wear Mido Vad. What's Mido Vad? Mido Vad, Rashi says, he HaKutoynes. It's the shirt. Mido. So Rashi says, so what is Mido? Mido is like a Mido, measure. It should be measured. Says Rashi, yeah, Shetehei Kimidaso. His shirt should fit. It should be made to his size. Right? It's not a one-size-fits-all. The Levasha Kohen Mido Vad. The Kohen should wear his shirt, right? His linen shirt that is fitted shirts. There's a makor for a fitted shirt. I don't know if it was like fit, like, I don't have a coin wear like a tight shirt. But midovar, it's just fit. Shbeik midaso. Okay? It shouldn't be long. It shouldn't be too big. It shouldn't drag on the ground. The mefarshim say, okay, fine. Now, this word mido appears only one other place. Levash hakohen mido, train b'mesora. The word mido appears twice in Tanakh, in the Mesora, in the 24 books of Tanakh. Here, Dane, this one. V'idach, and the other one is v'yoav chagur mido. Lahoros, to teach us. Shekol echad tzarech la'avod avodaso kefi midaso. There's the Kohen who's putting on his fitted shirt to serve in his capacity. Right? And there's Yoav who's chagur mido. Let's pull up that pasuk for a second, just so we can get a little context. Who's Yoav Chevra? Yeah, who's Yoav? The general. We're talking about a great warrior. Right? Oops, that's Shmuel Av. All done. Let's just pull it up. Get the whole pasuk. Shmuel Beis Parechaf. Okay, Yoav the great Sar Tzava, the great general. Yeah. Pasuk says, "V'Yoav Chagor Mido Levusho V'Alav Chagor Cherev Mitzumedes Amasnav." Right. Yoav, as he went out to war, he was wearing what? Chagor Mido. He was wearing his military garb with his sword fastened to his belt. Right. V'Alav Chagor Cherev Mitzumedes. His sword was girded al masnav to his belt, to his waist. So you have two places in Tanakh where you have mido. You have a Kohen putting on his shirt to go do avoda. You have Yoav putting on his uniform to go out to the battlefield. Says our Rebbe, and who would catch that this word appears just twice in Tanakh? Once by a Kohen who's working in Beis HaMikdash, once by a great general on the battlefield. But says our Rebbe, yeah, that's very significant. Because the word is mido, it should be the proper measure. It should fit for you. It should fit for you. Lahoros. Shekol echad tzarech la'avod avodaso kefi midaso. You need generals in the Beis HaMikdash, you need generals on the battlefield. Very chashuv teaching.
Toru umada.
Toru umada, maybe. Shekol echad tzarech la'avod avodaso kefi midaso. Every person has to find what? Has to find his measure, his balance. And again, we all have to be well-rounded Jews. We all have to do everything. But we all have specialties also. Some of us have a specialty in learning. Some of us have a specialty in davening. Some of us have a specialty in chesed. Some of us have a specialty, I don't know, in tzedakah. Everyone has their specialty. Shekol echad tzarech la'avod avodaso. Do your avoda kefi midaso, in accordance with your measure. Hakohen b'avodaso tzarech la'or midaso chesed. We know in the Sviros that a Kohen is associated with Chesed, as opposed to a Levi who's maybe associated with Gvura. Chesed and Gvura seem to be opposite on our chart, on other opposite ends of the spectrum. One's on the right, one's on the left. Uvemelchama al ha'oyev, sar tzava melchama tzarech la'or al ha'oyev mida ha'gvura. But a soldier, a general on a battlefield, when he's the sar tzava by melchama, Chesed, there's no time for chesed. His job is to what? Is to kill the enemy. The Torah says don't kill. It's not talking about enemies. Right? That's not talking about a malik. That's not talking about terrorists. Of course you should kill the enemy. Right? So there's a time to have the mid of chesed. There's a time to wear a garment of chesed. There's a time to wear a garment of gvura. And each person has to figure out what is the time, what is the moment call for? Because we all wear many garments, obviously. But also over the course of our life, what's my avoda? Vizel mido kimidaso. That's what it means. To make sure that you're able to achieve your potential, figuring out what's the right garment for you. What's the kli by which I'm able to bring Kvod Shemayim in this world? Again, I want to be a well-balanced Jew. I want to obviously not, have one thing to the exclusion of all the other things. I don't just daven and never learn. I don't just learn and never daven. But some people have a real kalach of tefillah. Some people have a real kalach of Torah. Some people are very connected to Shabbos in a way that, is unique. So they should embrace that. And they should say, this is my garment. This is what Hashem has measured out for me. This is my chelik in Torah. It's an important idea. can find it by a kohen. You can find it by a general on the battlefield. Everyone has their place. All right? All right, let's do one final piece. All right, let's try it. We'll try one final piece. I hope we can pull it off. Let's see. B'toras Kohanim, yeah.
I feel like it's similar to the introduction of Kovat HaTavid when they're saying that like, you have to really find what speaks to each of your students. Like, not one size fits all.
That's right. 100%. We always talk about Chelek and Torah. We always talk about finding what's Chelek and Torah. What does that mean, Chelek and Torah? Do we have different Chalakim and Torah? The answer is yes. We each have a different area of Torah that we can thrive in. And we should find that. Find out what that is. Figure out what that is. Okay? But 100%. Yeah. Chanuch lanar al pi darko, right? Like it says in Mishlei. Okay, Chara, last one for today. B'toras Kohanim in the left-hand column. Kuf Yud Tes. It says, Vayigash es parach atas. Okay? Take a look. Pereches, Pasuk Yud Dalet. For those who want to look at the Pasuk inside. Pereches, Pasuk Yud Dalet. I don't know why I said Vayigash. That's the name of a parsha. Vayagesh. Vayagesh es parachatas. Okay, as Aaron and his sons become officially inaugurated as Kohanim, so the Pasuk says, Vayagesh, Vayagesh, you see it? Parachas Pasuk Yudalad? Vayagesh es parachatas, Vayismoch Aaron ubonav es yedeim al rosh parachatas. Okay? Vayagesh. He brought over the par, which is a chatas, and Aaron and his sons rested their hands upon the par chatas, and then Moshe shechs the bull, and they sprinkle the blood, v'chulu. So our Rebbe notices and points out something interesting, again, based on the Toras Kohanim, which is the Medrash. Medrash says the following, Mitchila lo nikra par hachatas. We already found out in Chumash Shemos that there was going to be some type of inaugural offering. But back in Shemos, Perachav Tes Pasuk Aleph, Zeh Davar Asher Tasa Lehem Lekadesh Osam Lechahen Li. We are already told, Aaron was told that there's going to be an inauguration process. This is the process by which you will be inaugurated. What do you have to do? Take a par Echad Ben Bakar. Take a par. All of a sudden now we find out, over here in Parsha Sav, Vayagesh Es Par Achatas. So the question is, why, when we first were introduced to this idea in Shemos Perachav Tes, were we not told that it's a par chatas? Usually you tell us what type of carbon it is. Only here is it finally revealed that the nature of the par is going to be as a carbon chatas. That's the kasha. That's the kasha. Zeh davar, again, in Parshas Tetzaveh, v'zeh davar asher tasa lehem lekadesh osam lechahen li, lekach parachad ben bakar ve'elim shnayim tamimim. But it doesn't tell me what type of carbon it's going to be. Well, all of a sudden now, in our parsha, vayagesh, Moshe brings over what? The par, hachatas. Why didn't it tell me originally that it was going to be a chatas? Everyone hears the kasha? Okay, so let's look inside. Ratzalomar in the parentheses. B'parshas tetzava b'tzivoy Hashem yisbarach lo seder hamiluim. Back in Chumash Shemos, back in Parshas Tetzaveh, when we were first introducing the process by which Aaron and his sons would be brought into the service of Hashem, it just says, Lakach par echad ben bakar, v'lo karo sochapas. It just says it's a par, it's a bull, but it doesn't say what type of bull it's going to be. And here, Kishu poret es masav, when it explains the details of what's actually happening, hayanikra par hachatas. Question is why? Ratzalomar, kisham bishas hatzivoy, hayakodem maisa ha'egel. However, when you see a par, when you see a bull, it makes you think of what? It makes you think of a small calf. Right? It makes you think of an egel azav. The same way this Shabbos is Parshas Parah. Part of Parshas Parah, the Parah Duma, part of the idea that we find in Rashi and Chazal is that what? Let the mommy, you know, cow come and clean up for the baby cow. Right? Let the para, aduma, be a tikkun for what? For the egel. So this par hachatas also the adult bull is a tikkun in some way for what? For chet egel. What parsha is chet egel in? Kisisa. So says our Rebbe, in Parshas Tetzaveh, when we first introduced that there's going to be what? A special inauguration offering when Aaron and his children are inaugurated into the service of Beis HaMikdash, it just says par. It doesn't say par achatas. Now, all of a sudden, when Aaron's actually bringing it, and Moshe's shechting it, and they're sprinkling it, and it's happening right now, yeah? All of a sudden, the Torah reveals to us, it's a sin offering. What was the sin? Ah, something had happened along the way. Namely, Chet HaEgel. So it says our Rebbe, let's read inside. Again, Ratzal Omar, in the parentheses. Kisham b'shas ha-tzivoy ha-yakoda ma'isa egel. At the original time that this command was introduced, it was before the Chet HaEgel. V'inei ha-yagoloi v'yaduol lefanav yisbarach sha'asidin lachto. Hashem already knew, because God knows everything, Hashem already knew that in the future we're going to sin. V'tziva likach par. And that's why Hashem already put the par in motion. But Hashem didn't want to call it a par chatas before the Avera happened. You know why? Avalo karo chatas. Why? The oz hayu kumachrachim b'maseim chas v'shalom. Because once Hashem says it, it is. It's reality. If Hashem says there's going to be a par chatas, that's almost forcing us to commit an Avera, to have to bring a sin offering. And Hashem doesn't want to force anything. Hashem doesn't want his knowledge to impose upon our free will. That's, of course, the ultimate kasha, the Rambam says. Hashem's yediyah and our bechira. But that's why Hashem says it's a par. There's going to be a par, but I'm not going to say what type of par it's going to be. Ki kvar kasavnu b'shem Rav Moshe Alshech. Remember, this is an important cloud. Look at this rule. It's a very important rule. Shadavar shuhu b'yediyaso yisparach shemo. That which is in the mind of God, that which is known to Hashem, Ein ha'adam muchrach b'zeh. V'adayin ha'davar b'chiroso. When Hashem knows something, that doesn't impose itself upon our bechira. But says the Alshech, Masha'ein kein diburo yisbarach shemo machriach. Once Hashem says it, then it is. Because how does Hashem create? With speech. Again, everything's a mashalim. We don't know what any of that means. God doesn't talk the way that we talk. And what does it mean? Hashem's knowledge doesn't make it reality, but Hashem saying it makes it reality. Okay, but let's play along. Let's try to understand. Bereishis bara Elokim, Vayomer, Vayomer, Vayomer. Every time Hashem speaks, Hu Amar Vayayi. Right? Hu Amar Vayayi. He says, and it is. When Hashem says something, then that's how Hashem creates reality. Like the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Kamo Shamar Kasuf, Kein Yed Devari, Asher Yetze Mipi. Like we say on a Haftorah, on a Tana Sibor, on a public fast day, the Haftorah, you recognize Pasuk? So too the word that comes from my mouth, right, will not, Asher Yetze Mipi, the end of the Pasuk, what? O Yeshuv Eilai Reikam, will not be for naught. If Hashem says it, it is. So if Hashem says Par Chatas, that almost forces us to what? To do the Avera that's going to create a sin offering, a need for a sin offering. So now we understand. V'zeh yunach lanu omru sham, zeh hadavar asher ta'asa. Now we understand the pasuk, again, this pasuk back in Tetzaveh, when it was first introduced. Zeh hadavar asher ta'asa lehem lekadesh osam l'chayin li. When Aaron is going to become a Kohen through that process, in this week's parsha, some of the inauguration of Aaron and his sons, Zeh hadavar asher ta'asa. The Mefarshim want to know, what's the Zeh hadavar? Right, why doesn't it just say, Zeh asher ta'asa, this is what you should do. This is the thing that you should do. Why do you have to say the word davar? Zeh hadavar asher ta'asa, shenizkashu Mefarshim. The Mefarshim asked, al tevas hadavar, why not just say, Zeh asher ta'asa, this is what you should do. Why do you need the word davar? Vigam Chazal Darshu Baburach Kodsham Chazal, with their great wisdom, they have their interpretation. But I'll tell you what I think it means, says our Rebbe. Udatenu Yunach. I'll explain very simply. Shezeo Sha'amar Yisbarach Shemo. Vizeh HaDavar. Dibur. When Hashem says it, it makes it into reality. Zehu Asher Yotze Midiburo. All I can say right now, says Hashem, is Lakach Par. Is that there's going to be a bull. I don't want to say that it's a Par Chatas, because that, in a certain sense, is going to force your hand to do an Avera. And I want you to know that Chet HaEgel, as much as Hashem knows, Hashem says, I know in my mind this is going to happen, whatever that means. In the idea of Hashem, it's already known that there's going to be a chet egel. Hashem knows everything. But Hashem says, I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it because if I say it, that really robs you of your free will. Someone tell me how this is relevant to us. Make this lemaisa for us. Make this more lemaisa for us in avodas Hashem. Knowing it versus saying it, yeah.
Oh, never mind. I was going to say, like, tzitzit, he didn't command us to put it on, but he wants us to have our own bihirat to put it on ourselves.
Okay,
if
maybe.
He said it, put that.
Okay. But give me a mashal of someone, give me a mashal. Maybe you could say the following mashal, right? Sometimes a parent knows what a kid is up to, right? And a parent sees that a child is going to make a bad choice. And sometimes the parent says, I know what's happening here, right? But I'm gonna allow it to happen because I'm not gonna say it before it happens, even though I know it's going to happen. Parents, I could have called that. I could have predicted that. I could have said it. I could have told my kid what's going to happen. Right? But I didn't say it because once I say it, once the kid says, well, once my mom or dad thinks like I'm going to do that thing anyway, so then I might as well just do it. They know I'm going to do it anyways. Right? It almost robs the person of their bechira once it's been birthed into the world through speech. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I know you're going to do a chet ego, but I want you to know. I want you to know that there's something called Bechira. How does it really work? The Rambam writes, Nichus Tshuva, it's the hardest topic of all. If God knows it, so what difference does it make if he says it or doesn't say it? The answer is because as much as Hashem knows what's going to be, it doesn't change our ability to choose in the moment. We can still choose right. So Hashem says, Zeha Davar, this is what I can say right now. Asher Taselahem, this is what I can say that you're going to do. You're going to bring a carbon called, you're going to bring a par as a carbon. A bull will be offered. Aaron, you are going to bring a bull. But I don't want to say it's a chatas, because I don't want to talk about the fact that Aaron, maybe you could have done differently by Chet Egel. I don't want to talk about that Klal Yisrael could have done differently by Chet Egel. I don't want to talk about that, Hashem says. Again, let's finish the piece. Zehu asher yotze midiburo lakach par. All I can say right now is that there's going to be a taking of a par. Va'achar maisa, but after we did the Avera, no, the lamosha inyan shelo ratz Hashem Yisbarach lomar chatas. But after the fact, we found out that Hashem, you could sense that Hashem was holding back. Hashem didn't want to say the word chatas. The kevan sheyatza hadavar mipiv Yisbarach shemo, shuv lo yeh hadavar bibechirasam. Once Hashem says it, then it's no longer within our bechira. That creates it. Hashem saying it creates it. And then he concludes. He says, "Agam shelo pirish kein bal karban aron." Even though the Baal Karban Aaron has a different way of learning this Medrash, this is what I think is correct. And I have more to say that on an upcoming piece. But again, as much as it's just a nice diuk in the Pasuk, paying attention how in Tetzav it just says par, and in our Parsha it says par chatas, right? And again, it's built on this Medrash, but I think the Rebbe is telling, I think there is a lesson, a real lesson here on Avodas Hashem. Right? Just because you know something could be, Be careful not to speak it into existence. Right? That once you say it, it's very hard to retract. I told you once that when Ashes Potiphar was seducing Yosef at Tzaddik, one of the ways she was trying to get him to sin was she was saying, let's just talk about it. Let's just talk about it. Right? There's an extra lamor in the Pasuk. It says that she grabbed his garment. Lamor shechvayimi. She grabbed Yosef by his garment, saying, sleep with me. So the pashup shot is you probably grabbed him in a seductive way. But lamor, shechvayimi, the way that Rav Moshe David Vali, the student of the Ramchal, learns it, is lamor, just say you'll sleep with me. You don't have to actually, we don't have to actually do it, Yosef. Just say, admit you want to do it. When you say it, dibur is a very delicate thing. Once it's spoken, it becomes more of a reality. So the same thing is true. Again, we have to be careful what we say into the world. And just to end, I think that goes back to what we were learning yesterday, you know, the possibilities of our life, you know, the 16th and 17th of Adar, and that piece from the Rishner, right? Talmud lomar ki kadosh ami. Train yourself to say ki kadosh ami. The more we speak diburei kadusha, right? Hu amar vayehi, when one says it, it becomes reality. Or ha'amanti ki adaber, like it says in Halah. Ha'amanti, I believe it, ki adaber, because I say it. The more we say good things, the more we'll live good things, we'll do good things. Hashem says, I know you're gonna do the, I know you're gonna do a big aveira called Chetengel, but I don't want to, Hashem says, I don't want to talk about it. Because I don't want to, I don't want you to think that it has to be. From your perspective, it's still a choice. And that's a very chashuv idea. Okay? Seder, stop here. Okay.